medicine right here, close to home at Thibodaux Regional.
Progressive Motorcycle presents Road Wisdom from the Motor.
Half man, half motorcycle.
To find your balance, keep riding. And if you stop, put your feet down.
So you don't fall.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents Roadside Assistance. Progressive Motorcycle, for those who were born to ride. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
If you've got an insurance question, you could talk to a park ranger, but the only quotes they'd probably give you would be about the beauty of a fallen leaf or ripples in a pond, not the kind that could save you money on your policies. Or you could talk to your local Geico agent, who's an expert navigator of the insurance landscape. They could use their expertise to guide you on ways to save hundreds on your policies, while leaving it up to your park ranger to save the wilderness and any endangered picnic baskets. Go online to geico.com/local to find a Geico agent near you.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Hour number three, Gus Kattengill, Jordan Kleber with you here in Metro. 800-998-1003 is the number to call. You can also tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Buddy will take your phone calls over in the studios in La Rose. Marlin will join us at 2:15. Scott Kushner at 2:30. Which direction should the Pels go? They need to make a call, a decision. You brought up a case and an argument that maybe we can discuss that with Scott and paraphrase it in 10 seconds so you can make the point with Scott.
Yeah, so basically the consistency in the lineup and the consistency in winning games, maybe that has to deal with something along the lines of why the Pelicans can't win games, and maybe that's why they're struggling a little bit more than other teams on defense.
Well, Joe Myers and Todd have brought it up that kind of don't know what to expect on a given night.
Yeah.
And you're saying that you can also apply that to maybe the lineup.
Yeah.
And how that
one
maybe
night
helps
see,
or doesn't help consistency.
You see Nicola Melli closing out the entire fourth quarter, and then three games will go by where he doesn't even touch the court.
All right. Well, we'll discuss all that. And more, Pels taking on the Jazz tonight, 7 o'clock. Utah, a 7-point favorite. So we'll discuss that with Scott coming up at the bottom of the hour. Also, we've talked on the show just to kind of reset things. Drew Brees with the sled in the parking lot. Brought about speculation along all kind of different people, wondering what you're going to do or not with him or not. So we'll see if it matters or means anything for that nature. Cajun Goats, thank you for calling us here on the Sports Hangover. How are you?
Great, man. This is my problem, Gus. This team can look so good, then they can look so bad. But you still have the same issue when it comes down to the end of the game. Brandon Ingram is taking way more shots than Zion Williamson. I still don't like at the end of the game how he sits Zion and then puts him in with 3 minutes left. I mean, there's a lot of coaching decisions that's going wrong on this team too. But we talked about it before everything that, you know, if they went and got back like maybe close to 500 by the end of this last playing before the All-Star break, you know, maybe you keep them together. I don't see that anymore. I think it's time. You got to start making some changes. You actually really do have to make, to me, some decisions on Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram is he does not play defense. If you want to talk about defense, you have him on the court most of the time. You always see his man beating him to the goal or him having a stupid foul. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff. And if he's going to be your main guy, if he's going to be one of your main guys, he's got to play way better than what he did. People always say, oh, well, we got 31. Well, if you shot it 60 times, hopefully you could get 31. You know what I'm saying, Gus? And he turns it over a lot. So he's a big part of the problem of why they can't get over the top. And let's just say those two games, the Milwaukee game and the San Antonio game, you had wide open threes no one can make. So we're back to that point where we can't shoot the ball, Gus. You talked about it earlier in the season. Guess what? We're midway through the season, and we still can't shoot the ball. It's time to find some guys that can shoot the ball.
Look, the consistency on offense has always been a struggle at times with the shooting, yet they've been one of the top offenses of late, right? So they've done that. It's sort of like with Jordan here. It's like there's consistency in some parts. There isn't in other parts. Yet you're in these games. And again, you lost to the Spurs by three. Is it too many threes? Is it not enough threes? I mean, you can't say this team needs to shoot the three ball more and then they don't. I wouldn't say this team's chock full of shooters, but you have to attempt them. And, you know, Todd just brought up an interesting point. I was talking with him earlier today. It's San Antonio defended Zion, interestingly, in this game. And you wonder how other teams are going to and start adapting to the fact that you're just not going to sort of let him dominate in certain ways. We'll see, obviously, if that moves forward or not. But I still think this team's going to go and be as dependent on the offensive side between Zion and Brandon, Cage and Goat. But to your point, one of the things that says they need, you know, is said that needs improvement is Zion's defense. And to your point, Brandon Ingram, my point is what he's saying. I understand this. If those are your two best players, but they're not exactly the best defenders on the team, then that tells you how that roster needs to be constructed, huh?
I'm not buying that take.
Yeah, Gus, I'm not going with you on Zion either. Zion is playing way better defense than Brandon Ingram. Ingram hasn't stepped up and played any defense. Zion is playing great defense. You can hear it during the game when Antonio Daniels even mentions it. It's like, man, what a great job by Zion coming across. What a great job by Zion. Zion looks like, I would say, damn near 80% better on defense than when he did at the beginning of the year. But Brandon Ingram doesn't. Brandon Ingram's guy takes him off the dribble. They didn't figure that out, Gus. If you ain't watching the games, they figured it out. They can go at him, and they make sure they do go at him. He can't get out at the three-point line fast enough, and if he goes out too fast, they run right past him. How many times do you see Brandon Ingram fly by somebody because he gets off his feet when he's playing defense? A bunch. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't buy that. And I don't want to hear San Antonio found a way to stop Zion. The referees found a way to stop Zion, and I don't care what you say. You cannot live in the lane. Why did we get a three-second violation in the lane, and San Antonio had a teepee there with smoke coming out of it and never got out of the lane?
Look, we talked about this after the Milwaukee game. I want to say the broadcasters have as well. And even Todd, I think, came on Friday and touched on it. And it's why Stan Van Gundy, after the Milwaukee game, brought it up. If they're going to allow teams to maul Zion, teams are going to do it. I mean, that, you know, I think Todd described it best. He said, you're going to put a hockey line, essentially, at the free throw line, and just say, if you come inside, we're going to foul you, and you'll live with it. You know? I mean, that's what they did, Cajun Goat.
And well, yeah, if he keeps going to the goal, he'll foul a whole team out, though. There comes a point. They're going to get in foul trouble.
Yeah.
You know? They got to call it.
Yeah,
they
got to
call it. That was a
poor
officiated game in San Antonio. It was very poor, even though it might have been even on the things, but it was a very poor officiated game. And every time it seems like the Pelicans would take steps forward, the referees would get them to take steps back. And I don't like blaming referees for everything, but man, the NBA referees are really bad, Gus. They are really bad. I see it not only in our games, I see it in other games too. But they got to get better than that as far as officiating. They got to be more consistent.
No doubt, man. Cajun Goat, I think one of the things that is going to be interesting moving forward here is how they're going to officiate Zion. You know?
Well, most definitely, because, I mean, I can call three plays, two fouls I've seen Josh Hart get on DeMar DeRozan And I don't even think he touched the guy. But Van Gundy sometimes doesn't even get the replays on those. The easy ones where the guy's not even being touched, he doesn't call it. But the ones that's real close, he'll get a replay on that. But still, it's just like you see him take two steps forward, then you see him take three steps back. It's like, you know, is it going to be the coaching, or we're going to keep blaming the coaching, or do we need to start getting better guys on this team? Because right now, the guys that you have, just not stepping up. And I'm going to say the same thing about the Milwaukee game. I'm with you. Why didn't Kyra see the floor? Why didn't all the guards see the floor? He only played eight guys in that game, coming off of a back-to-back. That didn't make any sense to me, Gus. You seem like you'd have a bigger bench rotation coming off a back-to-back, wouldn't you?
Well, Milwaukee only went with 8-2 as well. We talked a little bit about it on Friday. But look, to your point, and I know you talk about the back-to-back game. So, again, in that game, you make a shot or two, and you get a shot underway, and you do. You almost had that one. It's why I think Scott's column is an interesting one at the bottom of the hour, right? It's an interesting one. I mean, what direction are we trying to win every? And I'm not saying that you're not trying to win every game, but are you trying to see what some of your younger players can do? Or are you trying to balance it both? I mean, it's you're going to get that, right? I mean, if you're going to get a team that's young, still learning to play with one another, you're going to get fourth quarter losses. You're going to get quarter. You're going to get turnovers late. You're going to get no shot taken when you get a steal. That's what's going to happen. I don't know.
I got you, Gus. But look, we're fans, okay? We're fans. And fans want to see, when we see the Knicks having a better season than the Pelicans, and the Pelicans, in your eyes, have a better roster, what is the problem? What is the problem when the Knicks have having a better season than the Pelicans, and you have the better roster? What is the problem? That's our problem. That's, as a fan, you're like, man, wait a minute. We got supposedly great talent on this team, and yet we can't even pull up our winning record. You know? So when does it come to the point you keep saying, oh, well, it's young. Oh, well, we're trying this, we're trying that. I think Tom Thibodeau's in his first season, if I'm correct, over with the Knicks. Am I right?
He is.
Okay. And I'm just going to end with this. I'm just going to end with this. I'm going to change the whole subject. Right. Drew Brees!
Oh, Jordan. You heard that, huh?
Drew Brees. Does that mean like he's going or he's leaving? Well, I guess he closed out with that. Mic drop.
I don't know, Jordan.
Drew Brees!
Maybe the...
But to his point with the whole Brandon Ingram and his defense, if you look at... I'm not comparing James Harden and Brandon Ingram, but I am. If you look at what James Harden,
hold on,
Let me talk.
The following analysis has absolutely nothing to do with anybody of intelligence over at ESPN New Orleans, ESPN La Rosa.
I think this is a valid take.
I just had to give a just.
If you look at James Harden and what he does on the court,
mm-hmm.
he's front runner for MVP.
Yeah.
So far this season,
plays no defense.
He plays no defense.
Yeah.
So everyone that's saying that Brandon Ingram needs to improve on his defense, I agree with that.
Right,
but at the same time,
please let me stop you.
Everybody else on the team needs to improve.
James Harden literally can go to Vegas, put on 10 pounds to where his stomach is sticking out of his jersey, and drop 35 to 40 points. In 2.5 to 3 weeks' time since he's gone to the Nets, he's consistently been the best player on their team.
But he has, to the point of defense,
right.
He doesn't do a lick of it.
But my point,
he doesn't do anything.
The point I'm trying to make is if you play a lick of defense or not a lick of defense or struggle on defensive end, then you better overcome that. And one of the criticisms for Brandon this year, as of late, he struggled in the fourth. He struggles shooting the three at times. So, I think I understand the very basic premise of your argument, but you pick the player that's never played defense.
Don't give me the Pelicans.
Can shoot the lights out, man.
Don't give me that Brandon Ingram's the main problem
why
the Pelicans, you know, can't improve on defense because we're in the bottom four when it comes to the defense in the NBA. And then
I go back to my other argument I've been saying, though, at the end of the year. I mean, your biggest defensive – you know what? I'll ask a basketball player or coach this. Who's the most important or the most important part of your defense? Because I still think it's the backcourt, especially in the Western Conference when you're facing point guards or shooting guards like that. And I'm just asking for a friend. You know, is Ball and Bledsoe part of the reason? The reason? Not the reason. It's not Kyra Lewis. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Today's Medical Minute is provided to you by Thibodaux Regional Medical Center.
Hello, I'm Billy Nakian, the director of the Spine Center of Excellence at Thibodaux Regional. Have you had a recent neck or back injury? Or have you been suffering with recurrent neck and back pain? Have you been searching for relief? Thibodaux Regional has developed a unique approach to treating neck and back disorders. The Spine Center of Excellence provides a comprehensive, patient-centered approach to ensure that you receive the right care at the right time from the right provider. The Spine Center is different because it offers centralized access to multiple specialties and services. Patients and their referring physicians are led by a nurse navigator through a process of assessment and treatment, individually tailored to the patient's unique condition. In addition to total care coordination, the Spine Center's comprehensive services include everything from high-tech diagnostic imaging to physical therapy, surgery, alternative medicines, and chronic pain services. If you're experiencing back or neck pain, call today, 985-493-4501. The Spine Center of Excellence of Thibodaux Regional will put you on the path back to your normal routine.
This Medical Minute was sponsored by Thibodaux Regional Medical Center, nationally recognized for providing the highest level of quality care and patient satisfaction.
Think you're dealing with drug poisoning, chemical poisoning, food poisoning? Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. We'll go back to the Pels here in a quick sec. Bottom of the hour. Scott Kushner on his column. Marlon Favreau joins us, though, at BigFave504 is the way to follow him on Twitter. And as always, a podcast, Inside the Trenches. Marlon, how are you, sir?
What's up, Duke? How you making out, baby? What's up, New Orleans? Hello, somebody.
Wow. How about that for a Monday greeting, Jordan? How come you didn't sound like that at the start of the show?
Because I don't have that much energy like Marlon
Favreau. Why don't you?
I don't know. It might have been because I saw a bunch of Instagram post from Marlon over the weekend of him. What were you doing, a little bit of rapping, a little show performance, Marlon, over there?
Jordan, you're absolutely right. That was the first performance that I've done since the last episode of Inside the Trenches on ESPN New Orleans, which was about 2016. So that's where I got all that energy from, man. I ain't performed like this, bruh, in years.
Wow. All right. That's easy.
He's still hyped up from over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was double, though, like, because the next day I had to go to Baton Rouge and train our kids at Elite Football Academy. So I was off for, like, 3 hours sleep. I felt like I was back at LSU again. I can't lie to you. But our reality definitely set in this morning, so I had to go work out and everything. Boy, was I tired and sore. But it was fun, that I loved every second of it.
I understand. I want to play two bites for you that have to do with your Cowboys and Dak Prescott, because obviously that is it's a big thing for you. Right. Obviously, when you look at the ability, perhaps, or inability to have these the fact that the Cowboys were on the list. I know one of the things that I guess maybe either irked or upset some folks, including Keyshawn Johnson, was saying that, hey, he doesn't like the fact that they went. Put the Cowboys on as this Russ did and is trying to take Dak's job away. Are you cool or not cool with Russell Wilson putting the Cowboys in his list of preferred teams if a trade were to happen?
Well, I mean, Jeff, I'll start with saying that is a bit, you know, if you're looking at it from that point of view, it can come off as a bit disrespectful. But I think when Russ or his representation had initially – put it out, it was like, hey, these are good fits. And, you know, looking at the fact that Dak Prescott is a free agent, and, you know, at this moment and at this time, that's the reality. You know, now, if he would have said something like that during the season or, you know, prior to him getting injured, it would have been a bit different. But, you know, I didn't hear too much about it. I can't wait to hear the sound bite.
All right, well, here's what Keyshawn had to say.
The Dallas Cowboys situation, with the agent saying that Russell Wilson would prefer the Dallas Cowboys as a destination, is a little head-scratcher for me, because essentially, in my opinion, that job is already filled with Dak Prescott. I have a problem with that because somebody has a job already. So I'm like, Key, you know, you trying to steal a man's job.
All right, so that's what he had to say about trying to steal the job. You hear Jay Williams saying that's kind of like business, I guess, was his point. And here's what Orlovsky had to say about you shouldn't pay Dak.
Dak Prescott has been a good player in the NFL. He's had great moments, but he's never been this great player where you could point to and say, okay, he's elevated himself into this space of that top five or six player at the position. And when you do that, there's expectations that you have earned the right to demand that kind of financial support from our organization. Two, that you've earned the ability and thought process to go, okay, when we're down our left tackle, or we're down our two starting receivers, or our defense goes on a bad 6-week stretch and they give up 30 points a game, we're going to be okay because you're that great of a player. Dak hasn't done that. Has Dak played the financial game and the franchise tag and all that well? Absolutely. And so if he wants to continue to do that and get that number one dollar, he's walked those right steps. But he also has to understand that when he does that, or if he does that, they're not going to win a lot of football games. It's just really hard to do that in the NFL while being just...
Wow. So there you go. He not buying... paying Dak that much. What would say you? Has he done that? Has he proven to be one of the top players to make 40?
Man, Gus, I'm gonna be real with you. We didn't see so many quarterbacks get paid an astronomical amount of money and didn't prove it yet. A.E. Kirk Cousins. And at the very end of the day, listen, winning is important, but numbers do matter, right? So I say that because you have a situation where if Dak doesn't get hurt, he put up the numbers. And two, you have a guy that's capable. You know, he can lead a force. And three, a lot of times these quarterbacks, let's say Russell Wilson, for example, I think Russ is good, but maybe a year or two he may have gotten snubbed for the MVP. But at the very end of the day, your team is your reflection. It's no I. I know a lot of times, particularly in what we do, people try to put I and team and, you know, put this quarterback on a pedestal. The team has to have a really great defense, an exceptional running game, so on and so forth. Now, with that being said, the question, back to the original question, I want to go to the original question and ask another question. That's disrespectful to Dak Prescott, but that wasn't the only team that was mentioned. What about Derek Carr? Oh, I know it's a little cloudy out there in Chicago. It could go either way, right? Mm-hmm. And then last, because it's newness, but last but certainly not least, here in New Orleans, you know, we still have a quarterback situation. As we see, Drew doesn't look like he's ready to hang up the cleats. And then you got Jameis Winston right here, you know, still currently on the team working on his deal. So, I mean, this is an interesting topic.
Here's Mike Tannenbaum, former executive in the NFL with the Jets. His thoughts on what the Cowboys should do with Dak.
They should wind back the clock 2 years ago and get him signed instead of Zeke Elliott. But now, get in a room and get it done. You know, Dak's another guy that, again, to me is a franchise quarterback. I would pay him $39 million, $40 million a year and get it done. And they have a lot of other things they have to get fixed on that roster. Try to lower that cap number and don't franchise him for the second year, because in 12 months you get nothing for Dak and he leaves as a free agent.
So, look, I think it comes down to, at the same time, right, Marlon, trying to figure out who's going to be there and who's not. What the one thing I do find interesting is that in all of this is whether or not, that, and most people speculate to talk about, is whether or not the Cowboys believe in him or not. No one's bringing up the injury. It's strange how far we've come, or I guess good, Marlon, how far we've come since you probably started football, because you're around the same age as me, to where a knee injury or a gruesome injury like that, no one's even, I haven't heard a single person debate, will Dak be the Dak of old. You know, like, I haven't heard any of that. There's just an assumption he's going to come back and healthy and ready to go.
Well, that conversation is slowly but surely fading away, Gus, because of modern-day medicine. You know, what used to be a bad injury back in, like, let's say, 93,
right.
Take it back even further in the 80s, it's now a sprained wrist or a sprained hand because of technology. So, you know, the folks that make the decisions on these teams, the GM, so on and so forth, along with us, you know, media, radio, television, we know what the deal is. Like, we know, okay, yes, this injury, he's going to be out 9 months. He'll come back, in some cases, even better. So that's a good thing. That's a blessing, the fact that nowadays we don't have to have the same worries for injuries.
Marlon Favorite, the multi-talented Marlon Favorite. You sound a little jealous, by the way, Jordan. I want to circle back to what you're a little jealous. We're supposed to have a rap battle. Were we supposed to? Yeah, I mean, that's the first. How did you greet our guests like that? You know, I mean, I was watching the video and he was dancing and everything, but it's a little jealous. I'm Marley, sound a little jealous of their skills there, bud.
Well, you know what? The next performance, you and Jordan have to be on stage with me the next time. And you're going to have to walk like a gorilla, talk like a gorilla.
All right, look, I
do all the Sports Hangover freestyle, and it is better in person because mm-hmm. I can have the headphones on and the mic. And flow, so that's on me. That's on me, guys. I hadn't even made a Sports Hangover song yet. None of that stuff. We're going to talk to Jerry, man. We're going to make this stuff happen over there.
Dude, a Sports Hangover song would be something else. Is Jordan going to have, like, a cameo in there or something? Can he, like, drop a line or something?
Jordan got to be somewhere on the hook, guys. He has to be somewhere. I don't know if there's an ad-lib, something, man. We got to get Jordan involved in something.
I'm good with the
That's all you get.
Hit it, big
fit. That's it. So you're gonna be there for vocal support. Is that what you're doing? Vocal support.
I'm the hype man in the music video.
Okay, the hype man.
So all I need y'all to say is hello, somebody, and yeah. Okay, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
I got the people yelling hello, hello,
somebody. Did I go too soon? Did I go too soon?
Yeah, I'm gonna be somebody.
Hello.
You never know when you're going to need somebody. Got the people yelling, hello.
Hello, somebody. I didn't do that right. I wasn't feeling.
Look, we're getting there.
You got to come in studio, man. Come hang out with us. Look, one of the things I wanted to touch on, obviously, and I'm having fun because I think that's what this is right now with Drew Brees. I mean, it was on Highly Questionable. People have talked about it. We all saw it. Pushing the sled and all of that. Marlon, you do drills and work out with people. That particular thing he's doing, why is somebody doing that? Like, what are you trying to build there? Is it leg strength? Is it stamina? Is it upper body strength, core strength? Why are you pushing the sled to begin with?
With that particular exercise, and that's one of my faves, you're doing a full body workout. You're pressing up against, you're using your legs. You know, you're even having to use your core and push, and you're running, so you're getting the cardio. So as you said, Gus, you're building stamina. You're also building strength in the lower body. So that's one of those deals. I can remember when I was in the NFL, that's a normal off-season workout. You know, we would go to the Duke Academy over there in Kenner, and we would do that. Sometimes Duke would even have us, he would put the truck in neutral, mm-hmm. and he would have us, like, back it up an incline. And then, you know, just different stuff. We see Alvin Kamara do crazy workouts like this all the time, too. Just different stuff to build your overall strength, particularly in your lower body.
Okay, easy enough. Because I look at it as, and even Jordan said, as we all know, the camera tends to put on a few, right? Tends to put on a little bit. You do TV during the fall and everything, Marlon. So we know, puts on a few. I know when I do Arkansas game day. I think he's just trying to get in TV shape. I don't think he's trying to come back and do that, man. But it's crazy, I guess, the speculation. But I guess it's also the understanding, as Ian Rappaport said earlier today, is the post-designation of a June 1st, you know, that's when it can happen and all that, to save cap money and do all those things. That's all this is, right, Marlon? I mean, it's all he knows is around this time of the year is to go work out and stay in shape. That's what he does.
A lot of it, Gus, it's two things, right? It's two things we can look at here. The first thing, and I'll be quick, the first thing we're looking at is Drew Brees is in shape. Think about it. Like, okay, Drew Brees is in better shape than me NFL-wise, because it's been years since I've been in NFL shape. Now, I can go. I always practice Gilbert, so I'll give Coach Pace 10 plays. But I'm going to be asking for the youngs to come pull me out. Drew isn't that. He's currently in shape. He just finished the season. So a lot of times we look at it like, man, Drew's pretty old, but he still looks like he can go. That's the other side, too, and that's the business side. If things don't work out with New Orleans, if he get that itch and feel like he needs to go somewhere else, well, you know how that goes. You know, he can make himself available for another team who might want that type of quarterback because of their roster. So it's two ways to look at it. But, Gus, I'm heavy on the end of what you said. Drew about to go on TV. You know, Tony Romo about to get an Emmy. So, you know, he's trying to, you know, get his Tony on right quick. Mm-hmm. You heard me? And talk that stuff. You know, Drew knows stuff up there too now. And you know, staying in shape, and it'll never leave you. Like, even when I did the NFL Network, I worked out right before that. Like, I was preparing for a game just because to get you in that feeling. So it's all a feeling. And y'all remember, Drew Brees just finished playing. Like, he's still in shape. So this is just a routine.
That's what I was thinking of, right? When it comes down to it, at the end of the day, you're just doing that. Marlon, as always, man, appreciate it. Looking forward to getting you over here in studio one day to hang out with us and maybe do a little rap battle with Jordan. It'll be fun.
Big dog. Big as a gorilla. Yeah. Hello. West Bank, man. I grew up by that villa. Yeah.
Hello.
I got
Jordan. Big Fave 504 is where you follow on Twitter and, of course, Inside the Trenches, the podcast. Marlon, always a pleasure. We'll talk later.
Good talking to you, Marlon.
Have a good one, brother.
There he goes, Marlon Favorite. Quick break, we come back. Scott Kushner, very good column. Very interesting question that he's posed out there. Jordan has some comments on it. We'll do that when we come back. Scott's on the Sports Angle when we come back on ESPN New Orleans.
7 yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert. Joe Septic Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joe Septic Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom, air-conditioned trailers anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joe Septic at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
It was 1972, and in Miami, the Dolphins went undefeated. In New York City, disco was just getting started. And in Houma, the Foster family opened their Terminex business to help protect the good folks of South Louisiana from nasty pests. When you want to sock it to those nasty roaches, termites, and rodents, you want the local pros from Terminex on your side.
So call those Bayou boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Scott Kushner will be calling in here in a quick sec. Buddy be looking for that. In the meantime, I want to play this from Sam Van Gundy on Josh Hart and Zoe.
But that's the problem when you have to shoot the ball well to win. You know, I mean, that's going to be a problem. I mean, look, the guys are going to have bad nights shooting the ball. Like, you know, you've got to be able to win some games where you don't shoot the ball well. And right now we can't. I mean, we're totally dependent on our offense to win games. And that's not going to take you very far. It's just not. I mean, you're going to have to be able to guard people to win games. I mean, and so we've got to be able to overcome nights like this. I mean, those guys kick themselves about missing shots, but three-point shooting is volatile, man. It's going to go up and down, and you got to be able to win on those other nights. And we'll find ways to get points. We'll get to the free throw line. You know, we'll get to the rim and all of that. But we've got to be able to stop people, and it's just frustrating. And it's frustrating to them because they get frustrated when the shots aren't going, and they know they have to go in for us to win, and that's not the way it should be.
At Scott D. Kushner is the way to follow Mr. Scott Kushner. Writes columns for the Picayune and the Advocate, covers your New Orleans Pelicans. Scott, good afternoon to you, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We'll start off with a slow ball, softball question for you. How and why can't the Pelicans play defense? How about that? Can you solve it for us?
Got it. So if they just do, they good God. It's incredible. It's like watching pickup games sometimes. You're like, I don't know how they can be the successful scoring and just provide no resistance on the other end. I think a lot of it probably has to get blamed on the roster construction. Obviously, there's some schematic there, too. But pretty clearly, the biggest hurdle this team faces as they move forward is, like, is this an Ingram-Zion problem? Like, is the reason that they're so bad on defense because of those two guys? Because if that's the case, that's a really big problem that you have going forward. And if it's not because of that, then I think you're okay, and then you can figure out a way to get it at least a mediocre defense going forward instead of, you know, the worst defense in the NBA. But right now it is it's embarrassing to watch. I know it's embarrassing for Stan Van Gundy to put his name on it on a nightly basis.
Let me ask you this, because we have somebody on Twitter who literally, I mean, it's an interesting Twitter question.
Two different people have asked this question.
Right. Well, call God with a picture of a phone right next to it. Says on Twitter, LaPel shipped the best defensive defender to Milwaukee for an undersized guard who can't shoot, who's overrated, not a good ball defender, and things of that nature. But the point is a lot of people have asked about the Jrue Holiday thing. Scott, is the absence of one player, because other than that, I mean, you would agree that Steven Adams is an upgrade probably from Favors. So it's basically the same players on the court minus Jrue Holiday, but they're substantially worse at defense. Why is that?
I think the hard truth there might have to do something with somebody who played a lot of games this year who did not play a lot of games last year, and that being Zion. I think that you have to pin some of this on him. He has been amazing offensively, and he has been all of the progress you wanted to see, you have seen from him on an offensive perspective. But you can't blame defense or one guy, so I think it's unfair to blame it entirely on him. But if you're looking at what was the difference between last year and this year, other than the coach, and believe me, I don't think, you know, Stan is any worse defensively than Alvin is. I think the biggest issue is that you have guys who are not able to do what he's asking them to do on a nightly basis, and it almost feels as if they've kind of checked out on that end, that they sort of expect to be bad at it, and that they're just going to try to outscore teams, and that is even more troubling. The fact that Lonzo Ball can't stay in front of anybody, the fact that Eric Bledsoe can't, like, these are guys that are definitely capable of doing more defensively, and they just don't do it, and I think that's really difficult for Stan Van Gundy. But I think it also speaks to, like, just how much of a team concept. Like, Eric Bledsoe was second-team all-defense last year. Jrue Holiday wasn't. Like, in the eyes of the people who vote on that, Eric Bledsoe was a better defender at the same position than Jrue Holiday, and yet we're accounting the drop-off from Jrue Holiday to Eric Bledsoe as being the problem. It's like, it's more than that. It is. There's a lot of pieces that have to get solved, and I think it has to start with, is this an Ingram-Zion problem? And if it's not, then make some changes immediately to figure out how to complement them in a better way. Because if it is a problem with them, you have a much more – you have a problem at the roots of your franchise then. If it's not them, then you've got ways to solve it. But that is the biggest question right now, and nobody's really able to answer it because – nobody really wants to answer it, at least publicly.
Scott, could it be a lineup problem? I know this word gets used a lot when talking about the Pelicans. There needs to be consistency before we could actually say they're going to be a playoff team this year. But there seems like there's a lack of consistency when it comes to the lineup. I feel like one night you could see Nicola Melli close out the entire fourth quarter, and then you won't see him for another three straight games. And then vice versa, you see Nall in some games, or you'll see Jackson Hayes play in some games, and other nights you won't see him for 1 or 2 weeks. Is there an identity problem on this team? Is there a, you know, not knowing what your lineup is going to be? What kind of problem does that face for this Pelicans team?
I mean, the issue there is that, like, yeah, that's probably true to some extent, but everyone's dealing with that. You know, I mean, there's no team that's really playing the same lineup every single night. I mean, Anthony Davis has been out for a while for the Lakers now, for, you know, 2 weeks. They still have the best defense in the NBA. It's like by a large measure. Now, they built a lot of that with AD, but, like, there is not a team that is really undergoing no issues. Look, the Knicks had, like, the worst defense in history last year, and they have the second-best defense in the NBA right now. That same defensive coach, Darren Erman, was here when the Pelicans' defense sucked. So it's, like, it's very hard to pinpoint individual reasons. I think most of it is on the players and less on the coach. That tends to be how I think about all the stuff when it comes to the NBA. But you can't really recognize, like, what lineup is supposed to do what. Like, they definitely pulled Jackson Hayes out because he's so erratic defensively. Right. They definitely pulled Nikhil Alexander Walker out and Kyra Lewis. Like, all those guys are not playing because they are so bad defensively, and the guys they put in their stead are not doing any better. So it's like all of these changes are occurring to get, you know, optimal defensive lineups, and they're not trying to really promote scoring. They're trying to promote defense, and you still are not fixing the problem. So while I think consistency, like, yeah, if you got, you know, a couple of years' worth of minutes out of these guys all playing together, they definitely would improve over time. But I don't think you can really point to the lineups as being like, okay, if they just stuck with this regular nine-man rotation every single game, they would immediately get better. Because I just don't – I think it is much more a matter of will than it is a matter of really things that we can just, like, pluck out and schematically.
You mentioned will, and that's the thing, right? Effort and energy to want to go out there and do it. I go back to that Milwaukee game, and they'll, you know, when they – for a possession or two, 1 or 2, they're up in your face. I mean, it's just, it's literally that. It's not about schematics. It's whether or not you want to get in someone's face and do that. That's Scott D. Kushner. It's a way to follow Scott over on Twitter. Scott, your column yesterday, I thought was, you know, right on point. And it's basically saying straddling the line between the present and the future to have a difficult decision to make. And are they on track or underachieving? When you decided to write this, it's basically kind of what we're talking about. There's some games where I'm like, I see the progress. And then there's others where, as you just pointed out, I don't see Bledsoe and Ball part of this team moving forward to an extent, right? So what do I do? How do I balance it? Is that kind of basically the premise of your column, why you wanted to go that way?
Yeah, because it really is a thing where, like, there's ways for this team to lose that I think would be acceptable in a lot of, you know, really, if they were playing Jackson Hayes, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Kyra Lewis, a lot of minutes, just enough minutes to where it's like, okay, you can blame these guys as the reason you're losing. You're really young. Like, in the bubble last year, they were playing Hayes and Alexander-Walker a ton, and that definitely did not help them at all. But, you know, it was all part of development, et cetera. That's what, you know, Alvin Gentry was sold and told to do, quite frankly. And now they're in a situation where those guys don't play literally at all unless there's an injury. Like, against the Bucks, it was an eight-man rotation on the second night of back-to-back. That is not a team that is developing for the future. That is a team that is trying to win right now, and they're not winning. So it's fine if you win. It's fine if you lose and you're young. It's not fine if you lose and you're not playing your young guys. Like, the combination doesn't really – there's a lot of ways that it can be acceptable. This combination is not acceptable, and it does feel like they are just flatly underachieving, which is weird to say when you think Ingram's playing great and Zion's playing incredible. Which are the two most important things for this whole team, but it is still on a nightly basis. Like, you know, this is probably worse than it should be.
Scott, so moving forward, how do you think this team approaches the trade deadline this month now? We're in March.
Yeah, I mean, I keep thinking they're going to make a move any day now. I don't know what they're waiting for. It really, a lot of times, you know, it takes a deadline before somebody actually does something. But I really, with the way the rumors were floating out a couple weeks ago, it just felt like it was all, and you talk to enough people around the league, they're like, yeah, they're pushing Lonzo and Bledsoe and Redick really hard, trying to get a deal done, and it's like, and nothing has come to fruition. Now, Lonzo's played well. Like, Lonzo Ball is having a pretty decent season, a good season, in fact, on a lot of nights. And so and he's a restricted free agent, so the idea that, like, oh, he does pair well with them, like, they are producing, like, offense at an unbelievable level, like, if you can just tweak a couple things, maybe you can make this unit work. So maybe there's a little hesitancy to make the move until you see, like, the mm-hmm. most amount of evidence you can see. But they have to do something. You can't go into the trade deadline being in 11th or 12th place in the West and, like, clinging to get the 10th seed, and that's why you don't make a move. It just seems very silly to me. But I do expect them to do something. You know, it would be very odd if they had a completely quiet deadline.
All right, to take on the Jazz tonight, I would say it's one of the teams that they have played or will play or in the league, right? It's just, there's matchup problems, man, all over this court when you come to this team.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they have firepower. Give me one way this team beats the Jazz tonight in upsets.
Does Utah have to play on a regulation-sized goal? If you can play, like, those carnival rims, if you can
Where it moves?
The ball, like, hoop shape that they have, maybe that would work. I don't know. No, I mean, you can win if Utah is ice cold. That's, you know, and that's going to happen most nights in the NBA. It's like, you can really beat anybody as long as they're ice cold. They're reliant on shooting tons of threes. They're really good at it. They get wide-open looks a lot, so they make a lot of them. But, yeah, if they're ice cold, or, you know, if you were to change the rims, I think you got a chance at what tonight.
Scott, as we wrap up, my favorite thing that you tweeted and I saw over the weekend on your timeline was you trying to figure out who's responsible for Drew's ever-growing hair in the sled-pushing video.
It's incredible, man. I need to get whoever this guy is. He promotes like 1,000 different products. Why isn't he promoting this? I got to find out who this guy is.
I thought it was his brother. Seriously, quietly questionable an hour ago. I mean, Golic Jr. is raving about it. They like zoomed it and they showed Golic Jr. and he didn't have any hair. And he's like, what happened? I mean, now granted, they took a picture of Drew like at the start of camp when he buzzed his head. So I mean, I don't know if it's accurate of how much hair he has. But they did a still photo of him pushing the sled when he passes the guy shooting it. And
incredible.
I mean, it doesn't look like the same guy. I
mean, no. It's unbelievable. God, Drew Brees has given me 5,000 different coupon codes to use over the last couple of years. Give me one for half off this hair surgery. I've been dying. This thing's falling apart for years. I mean, I can land planes on my bald spot. Drew, give me something I can use. I don't need another sandwich. That's terrible. You know, like, I don't need alligator bites. Like, let's give me what I can use here. I'm going to get the broadcast media.
Scott D. Kushner, my friend. Always a pleasure, man. Thank you. Scott D. Kushner. He's right. Give me a code, man. Hook it up. Hook it up. Final segment coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.
Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Things in life you can just rely on, like the comfort fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood. Get reliable year-round comfort with a new HVAC system installed by the pros at Tiger Temperature. We're the local team you can trust. Call Tiger Temperature today, 985-492-7295.
This spring season, gear up with a new Mahindra tractor from Southern Trailer Works during their spring kickoff demo days on March 5th and 6th. Southern Trailer Works welcomes in spring with huge savings on Mahindra tractors and tractor package deals. Test drive a new Mahindra tractor on Friday and Saturday, March 5th and 6th. Southern Trailer Works, call them at 985-448-0844 and ask about their over-the-phone non-contact sales and delivery. Visit them in Schriever at the foot of the overpass.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone!
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
Jordan, how excited are you? Welcome to the month of March. 2 Mondays from today, not next Monday, the following Monday, legal tampering, baby! Much money will the Saints have by then? Moves have got to be made by then. Announcements may be made by then. I think an announcement happens, because everyone's saying it's going to happen regardless.
I already put it on the sticky note.
It's going to do, you know, the June 1st thing, right? I found it very interesting this morning, in case you missed it, Dan Orlovsky. Get up! Had this to say.
Seriously, I just think this is who Drew Brees is, okay? I just think he's wired this way. You don't become a Hall of Famer unless you're a psychopath. He's a psychopath in a good way, okay? The truth is, the best thing for the New Orleans Saints is for Drew Brees to come back on the cheap. Think about their situation as a football team. This isn't a good team. This is a team that is a Super Bowl contender without a quarterback. So find me the guy that is good enough to take a team that's a Super Bowl contender and keep them there and push them into the playoffs that's cheap. Find me that quarterback. That guy does not exist. So Drew comes, who, by the way, had a better QBR last season than Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Deshaun Watson. Just to remind everybody, Drew Brees didn't stink last year. Him coming back on the cheap is the best option for the New Orleans Saints.
And if you keep him this year, you are stopping progress, Dan. And then next year, you're assuring yourself that you're not going to be any good in 2022. You want to talk about a psychopath in a good way? How about Bill Belichick? He's a great leader, will make great decisions, and not worrying about ruffling any feathers. And that's what the Saints need to do. They need to honor Drew Brees for what he's done and move on. That's what Bill Belichick's done for two decades, and that's why they've been so successful. It's over for Drew Brees. Stop. You're going to stop progress. If he comes back, cut your losses, move forward, sign Jameis Winston, and build for your future.
Go ahead, Danny, real quick.
Three things. One, you'd rather have the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 12th best quarterback in the conference over maybe the 4th. Is that a better situation? Two, I understand the progress, but this roster is not built for progress. This roster is built for now. That's why they're $70 million over the cap. They need to go win a Super Bowl now. Third of all, I just told everybody that Drew Brees had a better QBR than Tom, Russell, and Deshaun. Like, he played good football last year. What's better for the Saints? Go into the season knowing you have Drew Brees and what he is, or the question mark of a potential Jameis Winston or rookie quarterback?
All right, so that's on Get Up. On Good Morning Football, Peter Schrager had this to say.
All season we called it like the last dance for the Saints. We're like, this is Drew Brees' last ride. And even before the divisional round, I want to say Jay Glazer on Fox came out and was like, this is Drew Brees' last season. This is it. If they lose to the Buccaneers, it's over. We never heard it from Drew Brees, though. Like, here he is, and now we're in March, and he's still pushing sleds, still hasn't retired. He's already restructured his contract to make it team-friendly just in case they want to move on or if he's coming back. I'd be careful what you wish for if you're Saints fans and if you're the mayor of New Orleans sending out tweets about Russell Wilson. I would be careful because I remember the Broncos with Peyton Manning. Couldn't throw the ball 10 yards. They won a Super Bowl. They haven't been to the playoffs since. Like, having that institutional knowledge of Drew Brees and having the Hall of Famer of Drew Brees, and I'm not so sure this thing doesn't go differently if it's not for one play. Third quarter in the NFC divisional game, they're up 7 at home. Brees throws a perfect pass to Jared Cook. Antoine Winfield causes a fumble. Devin White takes it back. They're up 7 late in the third quarter when this happens. The Buccaneers go on a run. That's not on Drew Brees. That's a Jared Cook fumble for carelessly carrying the ball, and it gets stripped. If they
put in your left hand, brother.
If they score on this, they're up by 10 or 14 in the second half at home in a playoff game where Brady wasn't looking great until the fourth quarter. I got to say, I wouldn't be the one telling Drew Brees not to come back. I would say, hey, we need to know in at least a couple weeks what you're going to do. But if Drew Brees wants to ever come back to the New Orleans Saints this season, I got to think Sean Payton thinks, all right, Let's run it back one more time. The window's still open as long as you think you can go. It's on Drew Brees, though. I don't think you can push him out the door or assume you're going to get the same production from Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, or in your case, both. I just think that if Drew Brees wants to come back, you say, let's go for it one more time.
One more time. Bring it back, Jordan. Bring it back.
Level up.
All because of one video. One video of him working out. Trying to look spiffy on TV. Ian Rappaport an hour ago.
I have not gotten any sense at all that Drew Brees is doing anything but retiring. We know that, of course. The contract situation, remember, he reduced his salary to about $1 million just for cap reasons to give the Saints a little more space. He's not playing for $1 million in 2021. In fact, I would not expect him to play anywhere at all in 2021 except maybe play around in the TV booth, which is coming. My understanding of this situation is he wants to do it when he is ready to deal with it and admit to it. I mean, that's probably the best way to say it. He's played football his entire life. He's always been a football player. It's hard for someone to come to grips with the fact that they are retiring. He just wants to make sure when he announces it that he is fully at peace with it. That is what is going on. He is not going to play quarterback for the Saints next year.
Oh, Jordan. He's trying to come to peace, Uncle Earl. What you got, man? Wrap it up here. You got about a minute and a half.
I thought he was coming back, and after hearing that, I think you're right, Gus. Hey, when Todd comes on again, Gus, I was listening to the Tulane game, and they should have won that series, but the announcer for the Wave is not good, man. Todd's the best. My Jim Henderson and Jim Hawthorne is my two greatest of all time. They're not coming back. I wish Todd would do the Saints and Tulane baseball again. Gus, have a great week. Be sure to tell Todd to come back, man. He's the best.
I think he likes the Pelicans gig, though, Earl. That's the problem. I mean, the Pelicans gig is a nice gig. When they eventually do go traveling again, it's not the Holiday Inn where they stay. Jordan, you remember a year ago him sending us a picture? What was it, Utah, right?
Oh, I remember.
I mean, it was like an apartment complex. What was that? Was that the same hotel? I'm being serious. I think it was the Shining was signed in.